This is Fido Friendly Travel Talk. Here's your host, Susan Sims.
Hey everybody, it's Susan Sims with Fido Friendly Travel Talk, brought to you by Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. My guest today is Georgia Gaylor. She's the Assistant Puppy Program Manager for Guide Dog Foundation and America's Vet Dogs. Hi, Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Wow, it's my pleasure. So for those unfamiliar with Guide Dog Foundation and America's Vet Dogs, why don't you give us a little bit of an overview on those?
Okay, the Guide Dog Foundation and our sister organization, America's Vet Dogs, are both nonprofits that breed, raise, and train guide dogs and service dogs for individuals with visual impairments, as well as veterans and first responders. Our headquarters are actually located on our campus in Smithtown, New York, but we have volunteers and programs all across the U.S.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, and I know that when we've talked before this, our mutual friends, Jan and Nick, are puppy raisers. And I don't know, to me, it's a wonderful thing they do. And it's a hard thing that they do at the same time. So what type of people do you actually look for to get in that stage of the puppy raising?
We welcome volunteers of all experience levels, actually. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. We don't expect our volunteers to be dog trainers by any means. They're really working on the foundational skills that the pup needs to develop early on. And our staff, our puppy advisors, as we call them, they train all of the volunteers and teach them everything that they need to know. And they're also their lifeline throughout the puppy raising journey. So our volunteers have support every step of the way.
And how long would a person, if for our listeners who have thought about this and maybe you're leaning into the idea of doing this, what type of time commitment are they expected to give?
Yeah, so our puppy raisers typically commit 12 months of raising a puppy from about 8 weeks old until the dog is 14 months old, and that's when they return to formal training. But we do have weekend puppy raisers where the commitment is a lot less because it's just the weekends for about a year-long period. And then we do also have puppy campers, which are essentially approved dog sitters. So they fill in for the puppy raisers when they're not available. Could be anywhere from a few days to a few weeks. And that could be a good role for someone who maybe is interested but isn't ready to dedicate a full year. They could always start as a puppy camper.
Oh, that sounds fun too.
It's a lot of fun.
Who doesn't want a puppy for a couple of days?
Yep.
So now tell us what happens now. We've had these puppies in our homes, and now we're going to turn them back to these organizations to really the hard test to train for someone. How long is something like that? How long does it take?
Yeah, so for our program, once the dogs are deemed ready for formal training, which again is around 14 months of age, they return to our campus in Smithtown, New York, and they work with a professional trainer for about 3 to 6 months. And that's where they learn the advanced skills that are going to help them serve their future client. So for our guide dogs, they're learning the advanced guide dog skills. And then for our service dogs, they're learning the advanced service dog skills that might help mitigate whatever disability that person has.
I should ask you this. If anyone flunks out of that, do the puppy raisers have first right of taking them?
Yes. So typically we try to find the dog a working career. Maybe it's not that they're a guide dog or a service dog, but we work with a couple other assistance dog organizations. So we do try to find them work in some way, shape, or form. We do also work with scent detection organizations. So that could be an option for the dog. But if for whatever reason the dog maybe doesn't enjoy the work or has a medical reason kind of limiting them, we do allow our puppy raisers to have the first chance to adopt them. And although many do, we also have a long wait list of individuals referred to us by staff, and they provide a loving home for the dogs, which is a really nice way for the dog if the puppy raiser is not able to.
Oh, that's good. And so are there certain, and I know that you breed them, but what breeds are actually the best equipped, I should guess, to say, to be a service dog? Are there certain types of?
Yeah. I feel like this kind of depends on what job the dog is going to be performing. A lot of assistance dog schools do use Labradors, and that's simply because of their sweet nature, willingness to work with people. And then, of course, they have a really high food drive, which makes it easier to teach them things. But we use, like I said, Labradors. We also use Golden Retrievers and Standard Poodles as well. But really, any breed with the right temperament could be a service dog, just kind of depending on the job that they're being trained to do.
Oh, okay. You know, we talked about the weekend puppy raisers, and I kind of circle back to our friends, Jan and Nick. They are doing something different, and they are taking the puppies from the local prison to have them at their home on the weekend. What can you tell me about that prison program?
Yeah, our prison programs are incredible. The dogs are really successful coming out of them because, as you might imagine, in a prison, there's a lot of structure and routine, and dogs really thrive on that. So, for our prison programs, we have inmates working with the dogs Monday through Friday, and the dogs go home with weekend puppy raisers each weekend for that socialization. So, for our assistance dogs to be successful, we obviously need to have them out in the world, seeing everything, get lots of exposure from a young age. So that's where our weekend puppy raisers step in. And they typically are assigned the same puppy every weekend. So the dog arrives at around 8 weeks old and again returns to formal training at 14 months old. But that can be a really fun opportunity if you're located near one of our prison programs because your focus isn't as much on the training as it is just kind of getting the dog out and about into the world. We want them to see and do as much as they can in early puppyhood. That way, when they're a working dog, going to new places with their handler, nothing surprises them or startles them.
I think it's wonderful what you do, and it must be so rewarding coming into work every day. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know before I let you go?
Yeah, I always like to kind of emphasize how in desperate need we are of volunteer puppy raisers and puppy campers. Our clients wait several years before they get a guide dog or service dog from us, and that's simply just because we don't have enough volunteer puppy raisers raising our future little superheroes. So those clients are waiting an especially long time, which can be really challenging, especially when maybe they've had an assistance dog from us before, and then that dog retires and they're having to wait several years before they get their next dog. So I would just like to kind of emphasize the need for volunteers. And it's really, I always tell everyone if you're nervous or hesitant, the best way to get involved is to start camping because you kind of just get to get your feet wet, see what it might be like to puppy raise. And most times you fall in love with the pup and then end up getting one of your own to puppy raise, which is a win-win for everyone.
That's very sneaky.
Yeah,
What's the best place for people to learn more? What's a good website?
they can check out our website at guidedog.org. If they navigate to the How to Help tab, there's tons of information on puppy raising and puppy camping, as well as other ways to get involved, either as like a remote volunteer. We have a sewing team. And then, of course, donations are always appreciated. Like I said in the beginning, we're a nonprofit organization.
Very good. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it. That's it for Fido Friendly Travel Talk. You've been listening to my guest, Georgia Gaylor with Guide Dog Foundation and America's Vet Dogs. You can learn more at their website, guidedog.org. And for more information about today's show or just about traveling with Fido, log on to fidofriendly.com. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind. This is Susan Sims with Fido Friendly Travel Talk.